We left off last week, we were talking about some of the details of the Isuri Avelis. We mentioned that one of the Isurim for another one is Rechitzas, for washing. Here the Mishnah spells out the din of an Istinus, which really applies to other Isuri Avelis as well, that if a person is in tremendous pain, tremendous discomfort from not washing, then he would be permitted to wash. But fundamentally, there is an Isur of Rechitza for an Avel. How long into the Avelis does the prohibition of Rechitza go? So the Gemara says explicitly, this is from the Isuri Shiva. This is something that's also for the entire week of Avelis. After Shiva is over, so we didn't, the Gemara would be permissible. Nevertheless, the Ramah quotes a minig from Ashkenazi Rishonim, who had a custom to prohibit showering for the entire Shloshim. A minig that doesn't apply with Manazeh. Where if some make leave it in Shiva sometimes, with Kavachem, this minig doesn't apply. The days of the Ramah, the days of the Rishonim, there was such a custom to prohibit showering for the entire Shloshim. The question is, where in the world did this minig come from? And the Gemara says explicitly this is only something that's limited to Shiva. It's a different Shem, have different reasons for this. We spoke a little bit about this in Kol Boker a couple of weeks ago in a little bit of a different context. So some of the Rishonim say that the minhag came from the following, that it used to be a person would take a shower, so that means they would wash the hair also. If they would wash the hair, they would comb out the hair, they'd brush the hair. So some Rishonim held that for an Avel during the whole Shloshim to brush his hair would be a problem, because an Avel is also to get a haircut for the entire Shloshim. And the Mishnah says, Maseches Nazir, that a Nazir is also not allowed to get a haircut for his whole life, as long as he's a Nazir. So a Nazir is not permitted to get a haircut. And the Mishnah says that a Nazir is not permitted to brush his hair, to comb his hair either, because that's considered to be tantamount to pulling hair out. But that's a psikration, whether it's another Mechavim Mamish, that's a big question. And the Mishnah says explicitly that a Nazir who's not permitted to cut his hair, is not permitted to comb out his hair, not permitted to brush out his hair as well, because we are certain that some of the hairs are going to fall out. So Tosfos quotes one opinion in my Katan, that so to an Avel who's not permitted to get a haircut, but not be permitted to brush his hair either. That's what they quote from the Rishonim, that since in the olden days they used to wash the hair, they comb out the hair, brush out the hair, it was all one big procedure like today also. So the Rishonim were concerned that if we let the Avel take a shower, next thing you know he's going to be pulling out the hair out of his head, which would be a problem. So the truth is that Tosfos of Mekutin quotes that opinion and rejects it. Tosfos writes that there's no comparison to Nazir, from Nazir to Avel. So Nazir is an objective Isser of removing hair. It's like on Shabbos. You're not allowed to brush your hair on Shabbos because some of the hair is going to come out. Nazir is an objective prohibition of removing hair. So if I know for a fact that hair is going to come out, that's a problem. When it comes to an Ovel, the issue of an Ovel is not to pull out a hair out of his head. The issue of an Ovel is to get a haircut. Get a haircut to beautify him, to make him look nice. That's the issue. If the Ovel pulls out a hair here or there, that's not considered to be a problem. So the fact that the Ovel is going to brush his hair during Shloshim and he knows for a fact hair is going to come out, so what? Even if one or two hairs comes out, it's no big deal. It's not an isser. It's not an isser until sa'aros, like for a nazir or for a shower. This is an isser of making yourself look nice, which wouldn't apply when it comes just to brushing hair. So if that was the source for the whole minig, then the stomach of the minig shouldn't apply the way we pass in the halacha, that the oval is permitted to actually comb his hair. So other rishonim give a different reason, a different source for the minig. Some rishonim say that the reason why the chachmei Ashkenaz prohibited this person taking a shower, the entire shloshim, because in the olden days the barbers would come to the bathhouses. People would come, people would take baths all the time. So once in a blue moon they would come, they would take a bath. So after the bath, we were one-stop shopping. So the barbers would come, they'd clean everybody up. So we were afraid that if you let people come to the bathhouses when he's in Avelis or Shloshim, as part of the normal protocol, he's going to end up taking a haircut, which of course would be also make a din for the other the entire Shloshim. So therefore, the minhag became to prevent this problem. They'd stop people from going to the bathhouse in the first place.
So, Rabbi, you say that in Nazir they were bringing that's an issue to pull a hair. So he can never soap up his hair and comb? I mean,
he can never comb his hair, right? He can't comb his hair.
But you said the soaping up leads to the combing.
No, that's a minig. That's already a minig, not the soap.
He can take a shower.
No, he can take a shower, yeah. I can take a shower, yeah. Yeah, so if this is the reason for the minig, then the reason also doesn't apply to his manas. Nobody goes to the bathhouses anymore. Nobody goes to the barbers, don't come to your bathroom anymore. So the whole thing doesn't apply to his manas. So the emphasis, the Ramah writes that these reasons really don't apply. Even in Krakow, the Ramah thought he didn't think any of these reasons really apply. But he says, the minig was like this. I said, you should keep this minig. It's an old minig. You should keep this minig. Yeah, his manas, the poskim write that we don't observe this minig anymore. Because even within Shiva itself, the person is very often considered to be an istinus kavachomer for the minig of Shloshim. There is a story, we also told it over in Kol Boker, there's a famous story about Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Yitzchak Elchanan was Reb Yochanan, why he was named after. There was no connection between Reb Yochanan and YU, just that he died right before the yeshiva was founded in the late 1800s, so they named the yeshiva after him. And he never said Shir in YU, he never heard of YU, he never came to America, he had no shaychus to anything in Washington Heights. One lower side, wherever the yeshiva started, he had no shaychus to. So Reb Yochanan is a story that's written up I don't remember whether it's a biography of Yitzhak Yochanan, I don't remember exactly where the source of the story is, but it's a famous story that once somebody came to Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan, they were in the middle of Shloshim, and they asked whether they were permitted to take a shower. So Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan told me, yeah, they're allowed to take a shower. So the person was a little taken aback. They said, Rabbi, you know, I thought it should be also. It says in the Ramah that he has to shower, but whatever, he has to shower. Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan told him it was mutter. And he said, Rabbi, it says in the Ramah beferish that it's also, it's a minig that it's also. So Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan said, no, it's okay, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's mutter. So the person shepherded him again, and he said that it's also. Nachum only said that it was mutter. Finally, if it's going on for a while, so Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan said to him with a smile, said, listen, if you don't take my kula, I'm going to take it back again. So it's here, it's coming back. So after this person left, so one of the Gaboyim asked Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan, why is it mutter? State the Farish in the Ramah that it's also. So Rabbi Yitzhak Yochanan said, because it happened to have been during Svira when the Shaila was asked. Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan thought that the whole reason for the minig was, as a gezer, you may come to get a haircut, the barbers would come to the bathhouse. But during Svira, the barbers weren't coming anyway, because nobody, in 3 weeks, Svira, no one's getting haircuts at that time. So since the barbers weren't coming, so then the whole minig doesn't apply. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan is quoted by the Poskim to say that the Isra applies 10 and a half months a year, but during a couple of weeks of Svira, and during the 3 weeks, so it's a kula, it's a humor kula, because nobody can get a haircut, and the avil is permitted to take a shower. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference for us. The whole thing is mutter anyway, because the reasons for the minig for sure don't apply, and even the minig itself is an activity that I don't think is practiced at all. We move on to the next prohibition of Avichas Aveilos. What's the practice for showering?
People that shower every day.
So what I tell people is that when they reach the point that they're very, very uncomfortable, and they can take a quick shower, just lahavir sazuma, just to get rid of the sweat. The HVH depends on the sitting shiva in the middle of summer, in the middle of winter, you know, depends on how shivitzed up the person gets. I told them the story about when I was in Aninus about the shower. I remember I told them the story. When we paskin, Ramah paskins, that the Surya Velas really begin during Aninus also. So you're not supposed to take a shower then also, according to that Svara. So I remember when my father passed away, so that night, when I was in the hospital that night, so he was at the very end of his life, he had some infection, whatever. So one of those machlokes, two doctors, whether it was something that we should be concerned about in terms of any spreading of the infection. So one of the doctors said to me that it wouldn't be a good idea when I get home, I should take a very, very good shower, head to toe, I should wash myself up very well, because I've been sitting around for the last several hours and days in the hospital room. And another doctor said, there was a kind of infection that he had, it was Bechal not transferable. He said the whole thing was Lahavir Zvamayel. He said, there's nothing to worry about. So here I was, it's fecal enough, because something's a kanta. Sakanta lechumra. So I said, okay. So even though normally I probably, the first thing I wouldn't have done during Aninus probably wouldn't have been to take a shower, in deference to the Ramah. But I thought, yeah, since it was a chashash of maybe chashash of refuah, so I thought it was okay. So I took a very good, because I knew that was going to be my last good shower for a while. So that was the last. It was a good salt. It was my machmir had to do it, a good shower. But again, I was doing it not really to enjoy. I was doing it really to, because one of the doctors had suggested that would be a good option. I found that afterwards, I think the whole thing was a little overrated. I didn't think that it was really necessary.
What about like Friday afternoons and Erev
Yom Tov? Well, Erev Yom Tov, the Avelos is going to be over. So Yom Tov is going to cancel the Avelos. So they'll talk about you should probably take the shower very, very late in the day. That's what the post can say. Oh, that's right before Yom Tov. Erev Shabbos, it really is no head to, contrary to popular opinion. Some people think that Erev Shabbos, the Avel can do whatever he wants. Take a shower. There's no such halacha. That, again, if he's very, very sweaty, he's very uncomfortable. So same as the other days. He would be permitted to take a quick shower just to get rid of the sweat and discomfort. So we move into the next prohibition. It's better to be cold. But the truth is that if take the cold shower is mamish painful, many people it's mamish painful to take the cold shower. So then, Mikra did really what's called panaviyot v'raglav as mutter in cold water. So if he takes even if he takes kind of like a little spongy bath, you know, washes up a little bit, especially if you have a long version of what your diet on, what your reglaim on, that's 90% of your body. So depending on that. Then we move to the next prohibition of Aveilos, that's the Yisr of Sicha, the Yisr of smearing, of anointing. So we're familiar with this issa from other days of the year, from Kippur, from Tisha B'Av, and the halachas are almost the same. Not depends on who you ask, it's just how similar they are. But in Avil, for sure, it is not permitted to do acts of sicha. Here also, sicha is permissible if it's l'tzarech refuah. A person has to wash up, scrub up or something, or shmir on something for medical reasons, so that would for sure be permissible. And it's also permissible l'habiras azuama. The reason why he's putting on the ointment or the cream or something is to prevent a bad smell. That's also what the poskim write, that to put on deodorant would be permissible as well. So even though we usually speak about the isurim of sicha concerning Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and Avelos, there may be some differences between them, particularly in the realm of L'Habris HaZuhama. When it comes to Yom Kippur, so the halacha is that one is not permitted to put on deodorant, even though it's L'Habris HaZuhama, one should not be doing that. Even those deodorants that are permissible on a regular Shabbos and Yom, if you stick deodorants on a regular Shabbos and Yom, there's a problem, because of Marech, Machet, you're smoothing out a stick, so that's a problem on a regular Shabbos and Yom. If you use a spray or something, so that would be permissible on Shabbos and Yom, and on Yom Kippur, one should not do that, even though the purpose of L'Habris HaZuhama, that's still a problem. When it comes to Avela, so it's explicit that L'Habris HaZuhama is permissible. Put on deodorant on a regular during Shiva is permissible. The question is, where does Tisha B'Av fit into the picture? So Tisha B'Av, we get a little bit of contradictory messages from Chazal themselves. So in one place, the Gemara says, Ein bin Yom Kippur le Tisha B'Av, that the Dinim of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are pretty much the same. And another place, the Gemara says, Kol HaMitzvos and Nogos B'Avol Nogos B'Tisha B'Av. Whatever the Dinim of Shiva, carry over to Tisha B'Av. So the problem is here there's a discrepancy, because Yom Kippur is Aser and Avelos is Mutter. Where does Tisha B'Av fit into the picture? So that's a Machlokes. So this is a Machlokes between, it's a little bit uncharacteristically, but Rabbi Willig is the Machmer in this one. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, Group of Achmeranim who are making, Mishnah Berurah is Nidal Hakal on the Shaila, and one is permitted to put on deodorant on Tisha B'Av. And Rabbi Willig thought that the Ikar Din is like the other Achmeranim, that really one should not. So it's a little bit strange that in all the Kitzer books, you know, 3 week books, Rabbi Haider books, all the books that have set the tone for the minhagim of all the sleepwear camps in the mountains as to what you're allowed to do with the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av or not. So many of the books write that it's permissible to put on deodorant, and Marsha called it Mumachmana. So it's usually the other way around, but this particular one, so we'll note a little bit more Hachmer.
All different types of deodorant? You can put on any
kind? I mean, unless a guy's putting on something mamish for the smell to look, you know, on Tisha B'Av. I didn't wash a cold all those years. You know, that natia, you know, it's all sweaty you get. Whatever it is, you don't run around Tisha B'Av too much. You know, you don't get too sweaty. So we move on in terms of the other Isurim of Avelos. So one of the famous Isurim is the Isur of the Ilus HaSandal. We spoke a little bit about when exactly this prohibition of wearing shoes begins. So we said that L'chor should depend on the general question, whether the Isurim of Avelos begin before the Kfur or not. So we said this is one of the exceptions to the rule. This is one of the Dinim that everybody agrees is Mutter before the Vikra Din. Everyone agrees is Mutter before the Kfur. Even the Ramban, who is usually the Machmir in the Isurim of Avelos prior to the Levaya, Ramban is making on this only because it's necessary to wear shoes, otherwise you won't be able to deal with the tzarech kavur properly. You'd be too busy, it's hard to walk around with your bare feet. So that's what we mentioned in the past, and there are some poskim who maintain that b'zman hazeh, when that svar it doesn't apply, you can easily wear sneakers. So maybe one should be machmir, maybe one should refrain from wearing shoes, even at the time of the misa itself. So there are different minhagim about that. Some levayas you go to, you see the avelim are wearing regular shoes, they're relying on the mekilim, and there are others who are machmir, that the avelim are already wearing sneakers, already at the point of the misa. Even according to the mekilim, who permit somebody to wear shoes to the levaya, because it's not yet the time of the kvura, but the post can point out that one should be careful once the kvura actually takes place, the person should switch his shoes. So a lot of people aren't aware of this. A lot of people, they'll go to the basic kvaras, and the kvura's over, still wear the shoes, start walking back, they're in the car, and when they get home, eventually they switch. So that's not right. Post can say that the minute the kvura is over, once they finish whatever the stage of finishing kvura is, they should immediately take off their shoes. If, let's say, they didn't bring sneakers there, and all of a sudden they realize that they don't have anything to get into, so the Rishonim write that if your mom is standing by the kever, you can walk back from the kever back to the carbs and the dirt and the mud and the rocks. It's going to break you, hurt your feet. So then it's okay, because one is permitted to wear shoes to prevent one from getting hurt. So you're walking in a place where there's a glass on the floor and you don't have any shoes, so then you don't have any sneakers or anything, you're allowed to continue to wear your shoes. So the Avil, even though the kavura is over and he's technically had to take off his shoes, so those couple of 2 minutes when he gets in the car, he'll be permitted to take off, to try to keep his shoes on. But once he sits down in the car, so Taki has to take the shoes off. Once there's no tzarech, so then he has to take it off. And when he gets back home again, he's trying to get somebody to bring his sneakers out there. If for whatever reason he can, so then you have to, case by case, if it's dangerous, it's going to hurt his feet, so then it's permissible to wear shoes for that short amount of time. And if not, then he would be required to take his shoes off. When we speak about the iser of an avo wearing shoes, so we always use the term, well, you should put on the sneakers, so that's a big machlokes. Is that really an option? Is it really an option to wear non-leather shoes? So this is part of a general question. We spoke about this several times. I think it was even in Shabbat Shuvah Drasha many, many moons ago. We spoke about the big machlokes of Rishonim, which is based on a whole sugya in Maseches Yevamos, about how exactly the halacha defines shoes. We know that the shoes are important in many areas of halacha. Shoes are critical, first and foremost, in terms of chalitza. That's how the sugya ended up in Yevamos. So what exactly is the halachic definition of a shoe? Then we have the halachas of shoes. You can't wear shoes in Yom Kippur, you can't wear shoes in Tisha B'Av, and an aval can't wear shoes. You're not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash. There are a lot of times during the year when you have to either yes wear shoes or not wear shoes. So there's a general question that seems to almost permeate all areas of halacha. How exactly do you define shoes? What's considered to be a shoe? The Gemara seems to call machlokes atanoim, machlokes amoraim, machlokes rishonim, machlokes inshul. So machlokes keeps on going for hundreds of thousands of years. How exactly do you define a shoe? So there is one opinion in the Gemara that maintains that there is a certain objective definition of a shoe. Like what's a posuk from Yecheskel, and like tachash, it has to be leather. If it's not, it doesn't have to be literally tachash, but that would be kind of hard to find today. But especially according to the opinion that it doesn't exist anymore, but it has to be similar to tachash. It's got to be a leather. It's got to be an animal material. It's not an animal material. So I don't care how comfortable it is, I don't care how nice it is, how cozy it is, it's not a leather or a material, that it's not considered to be a shoe in halacha, for Hilchos Yom Kippur, for Hilchos Tisha B'Av, for Hilchos Avelos, for Hilchos Chalitza, not considered to be a shoe at all. And then there are other opinions in the Gemara, and other opinions in the Rishonim, who say no, who take a much broader definition of a shoe, that anything that looks like a shoe, means it protects your foot, it's serving as a good support for your foot. If you're wearing a shmat, you're wearing a rag on your feet, that's not a shoe. You're wearing a sock, that's not a shoe. It's something that supports your foot, even though the material is not really leather. According to some opinions in the Gemara, that would also constitute a shoe. That's a big question. So that, of course, plays out for Hilchos Avelos, but the real sources, Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, etc. So how do we paskin halacha in the Shailam? So depends who you ask. So the Rambam was machber in the Shaila. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Kippurim, Hilchos Shris was also, the Rambam writes that anything that's megid, anything that protects your foot, so that's considered to be a shoe, even though it doesn't have any specific material. The Balmor, other Rishonim hold that way as well. But many, many other Rishonim disagree, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Kippurim and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, Shulchan Aruch paskins look cool on the Shaila, that even things that don't, even things that they do protect your foot, but it's not technically, objectively, a leather material doesn't qualify as a shoe. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, that's what the Minhag HaOlam is, that people are making on this, even on Yom Kippur, which is, of course, more chomer, according to the Rambam, Shabbat Deraisa, because the Rambam says that Sharinim are awesome in HaTorah, but even in Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that the Metzias says that that most people are making on this. The Mishnah Berurah himself writes that he thinks maybe it's Kedai, Baal Nefesh, it's Kedai to be Machmer, maybe it's the right thing to do, is not to wear a sneaker, not to wear canvas things, in deference to the sheet of the Rambam. So notwithstanding what the Mishnah Berurah writes, there are some who follow that, some don't follow that. So many have a tradition not to follow that. That's clearly the Minhag HaOlam is not to follow that. So the Sarah that I have is not to be choshish for that. So Rabbi Willig, I've seen him many years in Yom Kippur, he wears his sneakers. There are many Gedolei Rabbanim, many great people who have been wearing sneakers for many, I don't know, hundreds of years sneakers, but they've been wearing all kinds of different things that according to some Rishonim would be problematic. And then it has become lahakel, even in Yom Kippur, which is again significantly more chomer, kavachomer, and Tisha B'Av, and in Shiva. But there were machmirim, the name of the Gra was machmir in this, that Maaseh Rav, so the Gra didn't wear any other kinds of protective gear on his feet in Yom Kippur. And there are some people, Ariya Mazel, stand in their socks or their Yom Kippur, put on some other kind of contraption on their feet that doesn't really give any support at all, who held that one lechachil should be bach, it's a yesh v'yesh. In terms of Shiva, obviously the Shaila is significantly more more lenient than Shiva. Shiva's already there, but anyway, so those who are making Yom Kippur obviously would be making on Shiva, and even the Machmir Yom Kippur may have grounds to be more makel on Shiva as well. I mean, that's clearly the Minhag HaOlam without any question. Avelim wear sneakers or other kinds of slippers, other kinds of things that as long as they don't have any leather in them, they would be permissible. The only area of halacha that maybe we should treat sneakers as regular shoes is the issue of going to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos that one is permitted to go into the Beis HaMikdash in socks, even though there's an issue normally to go into the Bechal HaMikdash with shoes on, to wear socks would be okay. So the question is, why is that? What's so special about wearing socks? So some poskim said socks is mutter because, again, the same story, it has to be leather. And others say no, based on Rashi, that the reason why socks are mutter is because the whole issue of wearing shoes to the Bechal HaMikdash is not really an issue of wearing shoes. It's an issue of Meir HaMikdash. That's where the beginning of Yevamos presents it. It's an issue of Meir HaMikdash. So Meir HaMikdash means you don't walk in with your filthy feet, with your muddy feet, into the Beis HaMikdash. So shoes tend to be dirty. Socks are clean. Everyone walks around outside in their socks. So when you walk in with your socks into the Beis HaMikdash, that's not a Bizarin HaMikdash. You're walking with your muddy shoes, that's a Bizarin HaMikdash. If that's the reason, so then that'll apply to sneakers also. Sneakers are just as dirty as shoes. When it comes to Yom Kippur, Tishma, Vavelos, those are dinim of shoes. So when it comes to an issue of shoes, you can argue something. Because there's a special halacha that non-leather is nishkin shoe. But when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the whole nature of the Yisr has nothing to do with shoes. It has to do with the shoes are an expression of the fact that's considered to be a lack of Meir HaMikdash. That lack of Meir HaMikdash may be equally true when it comes to sneakers as well. This was a real Shai Lamaisa, the Poskim discussed, about when you have a soldier who has to go up in the Bechal HaMikdash to say the Bechal Pikuach Nefesh, he's on call, he's to be on duty, he has to stand in the Bechal HaMikdash. So even if you're allowed to do certain things for Bechal Pikuach Nefesh, you have to try to mitigate the Yisurim as much as possible. So we're not going to tell the soldier to walk around in the socks, that may interfere with his line of duty. Maybe we should tell him to wear sneakers, and maybe if he can do his job just as well, maybe he should wear his canvas sneakers, wear his Yom Kippur shoes when he's standing on guard in the Bechal HaMikdash. That's what some poskim recommend. They should tell if from soldier wants to know what he should wear, so if the army lets him wear the sneakers, he should wear the sneakers. And other poskim said, no, you don't get anything by wearing sneakers. So then Yom Kippur you gain by wearing sneakers, because when Yom Kippur it's an issue of shoes, and sneakers, nishkin shoe. When it comes to standing on the Bechal HaMikdash, you don't gain anything anyway, so you might as well wear, if you have to wear something, you wear your boots, you wear your regular leather boots, you don't really gain all that much by wearing sneakers. So the poskim actually discussed this with Tukhachinsky, who's in a sefer about the conditions of Mikdash, Rosh Hashanah, has this, quotes this discussion. So Kopanim, the Isser exists of wearing shoes. Hey, the final shoe is questionable. There is a quote, a discussion of the Ramah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, which may carry over to some degree to Hilchos also. The Ramah quotes a practice that existed that when the Jews would walk on the Gerisha streets on the Tisha B'Av, so they would wear their regular shoes. In the olden days, there were no sneakers, so you didn't wear shoes, you were walking around with your socks. So the Ramah writes that when they would walk on the Goyish side of town, they would put on their shoes. Why? Because otherwise the Goy would laugh at us. So the Chayyadim writes, so they'll laugh at us. They'll laugh at us for everything else we do. So we don't keep Shabbos because the Goy would laugh. We don't put on tefillin because the Goy would laugh at us. So we do mitzvahs, the Goy would laugh. They laugh. So what did the Ramah mean? So Mustafa, what the Ramah meant was as follows. There is a din in Hilchos Avelos that we'll talk about a little bit later, but there's not all that much to talk about for us. I mean, maybe a little Kisei Rosh, Tivus Arosh. The Gemara says that an Avel is supposed to sit with his head covered up. He's supposed to put a scarf around his head, wrap around his face, and Katifas Yishmaelim. He's supposed to sit much like a kafion, like with his face totally wrapped up when he's sitting Shiva. So the Ramah quotes from the Ashkenazi Rishonim that we don't do this anymore. Why don't we do this? So the reason that's given is because there's a big joke in our communities. In our communities, nobody goes like this. I mean, you see a guy sitting in Poland with a scarf wrapped around his face, they're going to think it's a Purim Shpil. Everyone's going to walk in and start laughing. If you live in the Middle Eastern countries where that's considered, that was like a sign of, you know, Kavod Reish. The guy sits and he covers his head and he covers his face and said totally, you know, in very, very, you know, that was a serious position. So that's appropriate for that to be done in Hilchos Avelos. Whereas it can be done in Eastern Europe, it's going to be a big leitzada. So therefore, it's better not to do it. What kind of din is that? It's a big leitzada, so therefore, don't do it. So the stomach with the Ramah, with the Ashkenazi Shem telling us, is that in Hilchos Avelos, you have to be very careful. The goal of Hilchos Avelos is to create a certain mindset. If what you end up doing creates the opposite mindset, it leads to a big joke. So then that undermines the whole din of Avelos. And that prana Hilchos Avelos doesn't apply. There's no mitzvah in Avelos to do something that's going to make a big leitzada out of it. So the stomach, that's what the Ramah meant in Hilchos Tishbav also. He said that if a person is wearing his it's not Tishbav shoes, it's not, he's walking around in his socks, and the goyim, everyone starts laughing, comes a big joke, comes a big leitzadnus, so then the person just accomplished the antithesis of what Avelos is supposed to be. Avelos is supposed to be a very, very serious mindset. Everyone starts to laugh at him, it becomes a big joke, so that's not, it's better to wear the shoes rather than to do that. If that's the case, if that's the reason for the Ramah, so then that would make sense doing Shiva also. If you have a situation where not wearing the shoes is going to lead to a big leitzanus, so Taka, maybe it's better to wear the shoes. But as far as that, the whole thing doesn't apply. You just put on sneakers, nobody laughs at you. But in theory, that Ramah would apply. If what I'm saying is the beer, that's the understanding of the Ramah Nuchas Tisha B'Av, that's a very unique din in Nuchas Avelos, that we don't want to bring out Litzanos in Nuchas Avelos, so then that wouldn't apply to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a different issue. Yom Kippur is an Isser, a Shvisa, it's an Isser of Shari Nuyim. It's like not eating. So imagine I say to you, if the goyim get a laugh, you don't eat a Yom Kippur. So you're allowed to eat Yom Kippur, it's a Litzanos. That's a Litzanos. So yeah, you can't do that. So since the Yisr of the Shari Nuyim in Yom Kippur is not even about Velos, it's not to create any mindset. That's the name. The Torah says, the Torah, the Chum, whoever instituted the Shari Nuyim said you can't wear shoes in Yom Kippur. The fact that the goyim are laughing, doesn't do anything. So of course you wouldn't have this Seder. So the Ramban Nuchas Yom Kippur never writes this Seder of walking on the Goyish street wearing your shoes. It's hard to tell. Part of the reason why he didn't write is it. Who's walking on the Goyish street in Yom Kippur? The only reason, why were the Jews walking? The Jews didn't leave the ghetto. They weren't interested in walking on the Goyish street. The only thing is, when they had to do business, so they had to go deal with the Goyim. So on Tisha B'Av, even though you're not really supposed to be doing Malacha Tisha B'Av, but after Chatzos, you're allowed to do the Minhagim. So the Jews, with 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, would start spazzering over to the Goyish side of town to do business. So then the Ramah writes that the Minhag was they would put their shoes on, because otherwise the Goyim would start making Litzanos out of it. But in Yom Kippur, no one's going there anyway. So it's hard to tell. So the fact that the Ramah does not quote it on Yom Kippur can't really tell anything. So Lefiani Zaiti, even the Ramah's kula wouldn't apply. Again, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole thing doesn't apply anyway. One, if an Avil or a Shiva or a Shiva or a Tishba of Yom Kippur, whatever reason, has to be in a situation where he has to wear shoes. He should wear sneakers. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation where wearing of the sneakers is going to be completely inappropriate with the setting that you're in. That becomes a difficult shaila. I've had people once or twice have asked me that kind of a shaila. Somebody asked me, I forgot already, someone had to go meet some, it was some politician or something. I forgot already what the story was. He had to go meet some chashuva meeting for something from Tzarchi Tzibur. He felt it would be very strange. He was going to walk in with sneakers on... unless the politician was also wearing sneakers, whatever it was, then we had to figure out. The Gemara says certain things lechavad malchus, certain isurim they did lift lechavad malchus. I mean, take a look in Nuchas Tisha B'Av and see what some of the details, nuances of that halacha would be. But in terms of regular avelus, usually the avel's not going anywhere anyway. So anywhere that he's going or not going, he should be wearing his sneakers. And we assume the halacha that the cloth sneakers would be acceptable.
Yeah, so they have this literally Shabbos shoes with fake leather.
Right. So Mikra Dinoza Mutter. I mean, once you reach, it's hard to say Marasayim as Manas. Everybody knows that there are all these kinds of things floating around. So if they ask most people, if I see a guy walk at the shul in Yom Kippur wearing these kinds of things, I would probably just assume it's like par of ice cream. No, I'd probably assume that it's a par of a shoe. So if that's the case, then it would be okay. There's another prohibition during Avelos. And again, this is also similar halachas to Kippur Tisha B'Av. Those are the Isurim of the Isur of Tashri Shemita. The couple is not permitted to have relations during the week of Shiva. Either of he's in Avelos or she's in Avelos, there would be a prohibition of Tashri Shemita. The halacha is that even though there are other times during the woman's cycle when she's a Subit Tashri Shemita, so then there are a whole series of what's called Harchokas. The Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis and other places that although Min HaTorah, obviously only actual relations is also, or maybe other physical contact may be also Min HaTorah, but other kinds of things, passing things, and eating together, all those kinds of what we call Huchas HaChakos, so those things are all Midr Rabban, and they were instituted. Some of them are also Midin in the Gemara, some of them appear in the Gemara, some of them were added on by the Rishonim as Minhagim, but we have the whole Simon in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kuvtzei Hei in Yerodea, called the HaChakos. So those HaChakos apply during Huchas Nida, but they do not apply during Huchas Avelos. During Avelos, so you're allowed to pass something to your wife during Avelos. You're allowed to sit together at the same table during Avelos. Whatever is normally also Altsuchas Nida, so those details don't apply during Hilchus Avelos. Whether or not they apply in Yom Kippur Tisha B'Av is a question of the Peskim. So the Peskim recommend that it doesn't say this before in the Gemara, so it's hard to say it's also Mikra Din, but the Peskim recommend that in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av one should try to observe the HaChakos as well. There are those Peskim who quote the Svar L'Chalak, maybe between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Maybe on Yom Kippur we should be more machmir on the HaChakos, and in Tishabov we don't have to be so machmir. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the reason is because in Yom Kippur the women were dressed up for Yom Kippur, they were dressed nicer, so maybe there was a more of a chashash. Whereas in Tisha B'Av everyone looks miserable anyway in Tisha B'Av, so maybe there's less of a chashash. I was wondering whether that's really true, because Zman Hazeh. I think a woman on Tisha B'Av looks the same as she looks any other day of the Sabbath. Everyone's walking around the Sabbath. I don't think any people look so much worse on Tisha B'Av. So it's hard to apply that. I don't know, maybe in the Mishnah Berurah's days they were dafka looking worse. I don't know, I'm not sure. So whatever it is, on Yom Kippur one should try to be knowing the Chakos. And on Tisha B'Av, probably also not such a bad idea to be knowing the Chakos as well. But during the week of Shiva, so there is no need to be knowing the Chakos. Even though there's no need to be knowing the Chakos during your Tisha B'Av, we're supposed to discuss what about other kinds of physical contact, hugging and kissing, those kinds of things. Is that appropriate during the week of Shiva or not? So it's hard to say it's Osir. The Gemara never says it's Osir, but many Poskim recommend that it's not such a good idea. This is one of the collector's items of trivia, where Rabbi Kiveger on his notes on Shulchan Aruch quotes a medrash from Kehelas. Targum on Kehelas is something, it's not exactly your classic Gemara Machum. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes a Poskim in Kehelas that says, hey, how do you go, Ace Chabek, Ace Hachek Mechabek, something like that. Ace Hachek Mechabek. So there's a time, Kol's Man for Ace, there's a time for everything. So the Pasuk Hellas lists when it's a time for peace and for war and for crying and for dancing. So it says there's a time to hug and there's a time to refrain from hugging. So the Targum, I think, that somebody at Kehelas says that when is the time to refrain from hugging? During the week of Shiva. That's what it says. It's not the right time. It's not the appropriate time to be hugging and kissing. Again, to say that it's Asur, it's hard to use the word Asur. The Gemara says Tashemita is Asur. It's hard to say it's Mamash Asur. But is it considered to be inappropriate? Yes, considered to be inappropriate. So, people have asked me many times about sometimes a person during Avelos feels that they need a little bit of a chizuk touching, you know, not a romantic touching, but more of a support kind of a system. So I quote the Pasuk in Kehelas. I said, more than the Pasuk in Kehelas, I can't die. I didn't say it's Osir. I just said, Shlomo Melech Chachamasa said it's not the right time. So people have to try to figure out how to get the support system without the hugging. Again, those who do it, I can't say it's Osir. But it's probably not the most appropriate thing to do. But in terms of a real bona fide Issa, so the real Issa only applies to Tashmish Shemit Mamish. There is another prohibition of Hilchas Shiva, which again is also a throwback to Hilchas Tisha B'Av. This one happens not to be on Yom Kippur, and that's the Issur of Talmud Torah. The one is not permitted to learn during the week of Shiva. Obviously, on Yom Kippur, it's a great mitzvah to learn Kabbalah Satorah, but on Tisha B'Av, of course, one is not permitted to learn Torah, and during Shiva, one is not permitted to learn Torah. So there is a very lomdish question as to the relationship between these two Issurim. Is the Issur of learning Torah during Shiva really identical with the Issur of learning at Tisha B'Av, or are there nuances of difference between the two? This is going to have some big nafkaminas lodina. So there is a statement of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, when he was young, had the following chumra. Rabbeinu Tam says, we all know that there are certain things one is permitted to learn on Tisha B'Av. It must be the favorite called Dvarim HaRoyim. You're allowed to learn the sad parts of Yom Yom. You're allowed to learn Yilas Eicha. You're allowed to learn. We've extended that to learn Nuchas Avelus and to learn Nuchas Tisha B'Av and to learn Kamtzah B'Kamtzah. Anything that's a sad Gemaras, so sad sugyas, so you're permitted to learn on Tisha B'Av. So Rabbeinu Tam thought that kula, that heta, doesn't apply during Shiva. During Shiva, you're not allowed to learn anything. Mamash, everything's also. And then in the later years, B'Zeknusa, Rabbeinu Tam backed off. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, he thought that the kula does apply. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in the kula that the kula does apply. You can learn whatever you can learn on Tisha B'Av, you can basically learn during Shiva as well. So the question is, what was Rabbeinu Tam thinking? What was that? What did he think when he was young? What did he think when he was old? So we have to take a step back and try to figure out what exactly the nature of this prohibition of Talmud Torah is all about, to understand what made Rabbeinu Tam change his mind in midlife, between first saying it was often and saying it was Motol from Mitzvah next week. So we'll try to continue to understand a little bit more what exactly the gather of Talmud Torah is for an Avil, and how this may or may not be the same as Tishrei.